Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're talking to a beautiful P who has an adult son with a disability.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, but Mandy and I think maybe not many this week. Maybe not till you get to the cry laugh difference. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are in the pod bar.
Yay.
Oh, yep. It's a beautiful autumn in Melbourne.
Yes, it is.
Yep, and we love it. It's my favourite season.
I know, me too. It's cool.
It's cold in the morning.
Yeah,
and
that's
warm
right.
During the day.
Yeah,
it's nice living in a city where there's seasons.
Yeah, and now we can experience them. But this is like a year since
lockdown.
Coronavirus happened.
It's
so that's all sort of coming back.
Yeah.
Is it for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And people sharing their memories of like, I went shopping for toilet paper.
Yes.
And like, what a year.
What a year.
Oh,
and we know people are still coming out of it in other parts of the world.
I know.
But it does feel bizarre, but also frantic because we're back to normal life.
I know.
It's like, should have cherished that 8 month
with
lockdown.
With the threat of, is this going to happen again, hanging
yes,
over us?
Hard that's
to plan
right.
things. Really hard to plan things.
Anyway, here we are. So today we have a beautiful guest. Her name's Anita, and she's a friend of mine. And well, let's just get into it. Let's ask her questions.
Yes.
And then, we'll hear all about her. We could have 10 hours with Anita. So we might split this up into two, we've decided.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Okay, right. So Anita, first of all, hello.
Hello. Lovely to be here, Mandy.
Yes.
And Kate. Really look great.
We're thrilled
and
to have
that
you.
I love that autumn thing because as a child, I used to love crunching through the leaves.
Oh, yes. Me too.
Yeah. Walking to school. Tell us, we're going to ask our questions. What's your favourite music to listen to in the good or the tricky times?
Well, a lifetime of music because I'm fairly old.
Yeah.
it kind of makes it difficult.
Yes.
But And as a Christian, there's many songs that have been encouragement and empowerment from my Creator God.
Yes,
for me to keep going, and that I'm not alone.
Yep. Yes.
However, just as after I read that question, I was listening to Julie Andrews singing "A Spoonful of Sugar." You know,
A spoonful of sugar
helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. The medicine go down. The medicine
beautiful.
Go down. Yeah. In a most delightful way. But you have to metaphorically look at that sugar, the silver lining in the cloud, the positives in what we can, seems like a situation that doesn't have any positives.
That's true. You know?
So the richness might be the richness of genuine people you meet along the way, becoming mindful in the things of the day that bring you joy, even the sun on your back, a word of encouragement, a smile, or something unexpected your child may do or say.
Absolutely. Mm.
Just recently, Warren was sitting with me in church a couple of Sundays ago, and then we came to message from the band, because I'm in the Salvation Army, so it was the brass band.
Yep.
And the song was Give Thanks.
Mm.
And he started singing the lyrics when it came to let the weak say I am strong and the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me. Give thanks. Oh. And, you know, that really touched my heart.
Oh. Absolutely.
It was just beautiful.
Yes. Oh, yes. Anita.
Yeah. It's actually, I was singing that song before. Like, I haven't heard it for years. Yes. It is a beautiful song.
Yes.
It really, really is.
Oh, that's a beautiful image too.
It is a beautiful image. Yeah. Nothing like sitting, if you're a church person, with your family and singing.
Great.
Nothing like it. Yeah.
That's my whole memories of my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Even Dad, like, singing the same note.
It was tone deaf, was he?
Yep. He would just sing the same note, but he loved singing.
Oh, my dad too. He used to sing really loud. I was embarrassed. Could you just be a little bit quieter?
Oh, Matthew said that to me. My other son, Matthew, said that to me.
Yeah.
When I went to a school, you know, church thing. I don't know. At school at Carey, and he said, "Don't sing too loud.
Don't sing too loud."
I have beautiful history with your son, Matt, and we sang a lot together in church. Yes. And also, he made his own CD, and I sung on that. Yeah. Oh, it's really precious.
Yeah. It is precious.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Did you win any awards at school?
I was pretty average, actually.
Which we love.
I would have loved to have done this and been a prefect and all that, but I didn't get to do that.
No.
But I won a prize in art.
Ah.
Yes. And I'm not an artist like our younger son, Warren, but we had to draw the tuck shop across the road from our school.
Ah.
And I spent ages on it.
Right.
At home and everywhere. I spent so much time on it. And I just couldn't believe it, but I won the prize.
What? Wow.
It's proof that miracles do happen.
Yes.
And tuck shop was very important in your life, clearly.
I wish I still had it, actually. Just as proof.
Frame that.
I wish I had a tuck shop. Imagine just at lunchtime going, oh, I'll just go over there and there's all food made. And someone, my mum, has given me the money.
We all need one in our life.
We need a tuck shop.
My goodness. Okay, so the big question for all of us is, tell us why you're a P. As a mum of a child with a disability.
Yeah, so when I read that, I thought, what on earth is this P? And then I, of course, I called
sorted it
your
out.
Name, et cetera. Now, I'm a mum with a child with a disability because, well, it wasn't discovered until he was 2 years, 9 months that he had a disability.
Mm.
But I'm just going to say to to you now who he is.
Yes, tell us.
So Warren's a character.
Yes. Mm.
He spreads happiness. He gives a helping hand and a smile. He lets people know he cares for them.
Mm. Yes.
He's also courageous.
Mm.
Yeah.
He just teaches me so much about courage.
Yeah.
And he's become resilient in the changes of life, even through this last COVID thing.
Mm.
But he lives with cerebral palsy, a resulting intellectual disability, anxiety, and some OCD.
Mm. Yeah.
So these are the challenges for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I and his family have worked very hard to make sure, family and team of supports as well, worked very hard to make sure that his disability is not the only thing that defines him.
Yes.
It is just part of him. So that's we're not denying it.
No.
I want to just tell you very quickly that there's a little story of a girl who asked her parents, would she have a disability in heaven? And her parents said no, and she said, how will you know me then?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a beautiful thing to say.
So it's part of him.
Yes.
But people can see his courage by the way he lives his life.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Even through his anxiety, and he still has it, you know, even through that, but they can see how he's courageous and he just gets on with it.
Yes. Mm. Which is actually what we want.
That's right.
For our children.
Yep.
That's just the greatest gift.
Yes.
And probably some good parenting in there.
I think so.
Okay,
we all just do our best, don't we?
We do, and we sometimes mess up.
So I remember when I had the diagnosis of my daughter, who was a twin, and you came to visit me.
I did.
And just, it was just so lovely to have you come and just say it's going to be okay because I was just frantic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you remember that?
She'll make it.
Yeah, you did. You told me that. And I was like, well, I believe you, and I'm yearning for women like you in my life. because I want to do as good a job as you've done.
Mm.
So oh, that's thank
very
you.
Kind of you.
Yeah, well, yeah. thank you for you know, showing me that there's a way.
Yep, there is.
Tell us a little bit about the diagnosis. That was 43 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Times were different.
Warren was slow in developing, and in those days, the GP just said to me, "Look, he's just slow in developing. It's okay." But then eventually, as I say, 2 years, 9 months, about, he sent for X-rays. So we went to this radiologist. This is funny. Well, it's not funny, really. But you know, I was pretty stressed.
Yes.
Yes.
He, you know, been diagnosed with a cerebral palsy, and so he was wriggling around a bit. And the radiologist said, "He's a bloody little wriggler, isn't he?"
Oh.
And I overreacted, I think. I don't think I said anything at the time, but I was so annoyed.
Yeah.
I sent a letter to the medical board complaining about it.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Good. And this is the power of the mother.
Yes.
Who goes, "This isn't right. This is my precious child."
Yes. And yes. Well, it's probably, you know, wasn't that bad a thing.
I
but
know.
Anyway. Anyway, we were told he had cerebral palsy. So I don't know which came first, the radiologist or the whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Warren, I don't know. Warren was brought on as he was overdue.
Yeah.
Our first son, Matthew, had been overdue as well. But so when he was late, he was brought on because Christmas was coming up. So anyway.
Yes.
And the obstetrician said to me when he broke my waters, "Oh, he has blonde hair." Which made me always wonder if he damaged him. But, you know, you've got to get over those
little things
because that doesn't kind of help.
I know.
Yes.
Everybody does that.
Because when he brought him home from hospital, he was lying on his tummy. His little head was up in the air and was as strong as anything.
Yeah.
And he was strong, but by the time, like when he came to take his first year photos, I had to put my hand on his back because he couldn't sit up, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He actually learned to crawl backwards.
Ah.
I just remember this story. He actually lay on his back, put him in the middle of the room, and we were in Queensland, and at the end of the lounge there were stairs that went all the way down to the lower floor concrete.
Yes. Right.
And I put him in the middle of the floor, and I came out to him having gone on his back, pushed with his legs, with his head hanging down, looking over the stairs.
Bet that was a bit of a little adrenaline rush.
It really was. It was so funny. Anyway, we were referred to the Spastic Society, as they called it, you know, in those days. They said, look, you know, if they didn't have special schools, he'd probably be a clope in regular schools. But I think at the age of three or whenever that was, they wouldn't have known the extent of his intellectual disability in terms of that. So,
So, and then after all of that, how long were you in Brisbane for? Because you're obviously
we're in
Melbourne
Brisbane
now.
For 6 years.
6 years. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So then we came back down here. So, but that Warren was only three going on four when we came back.
Okay.
All right. So did he do preschool in Brisbane?
Yes, he did the preschool, which was the same primary school, was attached to the primary school.
Right.
The head teacher there, he was there for a little while. So it might have only been 6 months or so. And she decided to write a letter to the director of education saying that Warren really benefited from the activities and what was going on there, but she recommended he should go to another preschool.
Mm.
So that was basically the first time I knew that he would be
discriminated
against.
Yes.
You know, it really was. So that, but anyway, look, we were about to return to come back to Melbourne anyway, 1979. So, but we got this recommendation from the Spastic Society for him to go to this place called the Dame Mary Herring Centre. And I'm sure they did a lot of good work.
Yes.
But it wasn't for us. It was a no thank you because it would be there 5 days a week, just all with people with disabilities. And I said no. So
to live there or school?
Sorry?
Was it school? Or?
It wasn't live there. It was 5 days a week he would go. We got him into a regular kindy and Urala kindy.
Awesome.
For that time.
And at that time, was it hard to get children with additional needs and disabilities into regular kindies, or
did you have to fight that?
Well, obviously the first preschool was.
Yes.
This one, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So it must have been too bad. Yep.
But it was decided he would do, and maybe that they recommend he go to Urala kindy for 1 day a week.
Right.
So
we
got
some
special assistance with things that he needed. I would say that would be the case. I know I know there was a situation where they said he'd hit somebody and it really wasn't like him.
Yeah.
And it only happened once. So then he was, it was recommended the Glen Waverley School for the Physically Disabled, they called it then.
Right.
That was run by the Spastic Society. What do you call, I can't remember what it's called now. What is it?
Scope. I don't know.
Scope.
Yeah, Scope.
I know I should know.
Is that Glen Ellen now?
Yes, it is.
Yes, Glen Ellen now. Glen Ellen.
Yeah. So we went there. He went there and they tried a bit of integration with him. But, you know, like when the integration is like, I don't even know if it was once a week or anything like that. You know, they don't get to.
Not enough.
There wasn't that, you know, it's not the same as them going to a regular school.
No.
So there wasn't that in. That was that trial of integration, not actually including people in the regular school, which is another subject altogether.
It really is.
So that was what it was like in those days. And eventually they basically said, well, look, you know, he hasn't got a really bad sort of physical disability. It'd be better somewhere else. So in the end he ended up at Bulleen Heights School.
Yep.
Where there's some great teachers, lovely parents, still know the teachers. Yep. In fact,
yes,
one of his old teachers is now just working with him a lot to help him to be more independent. Aww. In writing and reading.
Oh, wow.
And he goes to her place. It's a real social event. Oh. Has a coffee and she loves it. She just so looks forward to having him. And they just and so he's sort of starting to write out his own, working on this, but writing out his own list of things he needs to shop for.
Aww.
And stuff.
Brilliant.
Like that. So
when you were there, did you meet the other mums? Did you
I met the other parents and that was really good.
Was that something you were yearning for?
I started teaching typing, a special type of typing to one or two of the kids there as well.
Right.
They're great people and I know them even, you know, I know them now.
Yeah, yep. They're friends for life.
We didn't do a whole lot of socialising with them. I don't know, maybe it was because of our lifestyle was a little bit different.
Yeah.
And
I think often with special schools, people live a little bit of a different distance away. So it's not like you're walking to the end of your street.
That's right.
Going to the local school, seeing everyone. So it's slightly well,
and if you're
different.
Involved in a church, you've got your friendships.
Oh, there's so
and
many.
You've got
a group there was so, and a there's support. So much there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
That's right.
And so when Warren went through primary school, there wasn't the option of going to mainstream school?
No.
No. Yeah. So no. Now
no option.
Was he on a bus or something or did you drive him? How did you manage schools?
No, he went on the bus.
Yeah.
He went on the bus, yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
And so you're...
Oh, no, just to school. This is very hard for me at my age.
Yeah, it was hard to remember, yeah.
It's hard to remember. No, we drove him to Bulleen Heights School.
Yes.
Right.
But it was later on when he started the day centre.
Yes.
That he, yeah.
Yep.
There's all sorts of things happened.
Yes.
But, you know, there was a bus that picked him up and in the end we got him to walk from home. Did a bit of shadow following and picked him up from the top of the street.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So there was that with that and some of the day centres. So,
He stayed at Bulleen for the whole of his schooling. Yes. So it's sort of prep to year 12.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah.
And did basically. He like school?
I think he did. Warren had trouble with getting around orientation.
Yes.
Getting around the place. One of his teachers, when they went out to do some gardening together, said she would set him up with the wheelbarrow and say, this is where you're going over there. And she turned around and he was going the opposite way. So we had a little bit of trouble with that kind of orientation at school. But he did. He had friends there. He got on well with. He still sees his friends.
Yeah,
oh, awesome.
That's the best.
That is the best.
He still sees a couple of those friends and that's really good.
I think today's episode is there's a yearning for people in our situation. Me, I know we've got 2 years left of high school and then I'm like, and then we're going to be on.
Yep.
So, you know, we're really keen to hear about how you set him up as an adult. So tell us a little, how were you feeling towards the end of school and who helped you?
We got a call from the Department of Human Service or DSS or whatever it was called in those days.
Yeah,
you know, it changes
a lot of names.
I know, DHS, yes. DHHS.
And said we have a place for him in a day centre in Bulleen.
Yep.
It was, yes. And so it caught me by surprise.
Yes.
And I said to them, well, okay, let me think about it. What happens if I don't want to take you up on that?
Yeah.
Well, you just go to the bottom of the list. That was how she said it. It was system control.
Yeah.
And so we ended, but he did end up going to Nauru, really was the only thing. So we went to Nauru Learning Centre, which was EDAR, I think they called it in those days. And so we went there, but there was a time when he wasn't progressing, but eventually all the people there were nonverbal, so the only people had able to talk to were the people that, you know, the
staff,
teachers.
Yeah.
Yes, that
so
is
we
tricky.
Ended up going to another one called Rochester, who was also under EDAR. At one stage he went to Bulleen one, and eventually to Ivanhoe, and that links into where he went to a group home for 3 years. So we haven't got to that home thing business yet.
But. And did he did he enjoy going to these, or was it more of a something that you just had to do? Or?
I know when he went to Bulleen, he said to somebody, "I'm not going to make any more changes. I'm going to."
Yeah.
So he did enjoy some of the activities, but it wasn't preparing him in a sense for what sort of thing do I want to do when I, you know, who am I? What are my skills and abilities?
Yes,
it didn't sort of prepare him.
Yes,
but it wasn't that he didn't enjoy.
Right. Okay. After he left school, what did you do? You set up an organisation.
I set up an organisation called REAL, it's Rights, Employment, Accommodation and Leisure, because information wasn't getting through to parents about, you know, what they could link into.
Yes.
And things like that. And during that time, over those years, I also started to look at housing and how, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, our children leave school, need to leave home.
Yeah.
Trying to look at the possibilities. One of the interesting things with parents in those days, I don't think it's just in those days, but we were trying to get a sense of, you know, where they were at and what they wanted.
Yes.
And we would come up with something and saying, oh, yes, but not yet.
Yeah.
And this is happening now with parents, because I'm now involved in a Manningham transition home, which we can talk about in another time. But I'm involved in that, and it's sort of like, you know, it's a great opportunity for people to leave home, go into this place for 6 months and learn what it's like to live away from home.
Yes.
To build on the skills that they've already got, and we prepare them actually, we link them up to Melbourne Homeshare, to the NDIS funding, all of that sort of thing. It's a great opportunity, but people aren't rushing at it.
Yeah interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yes. I won't be rushing. I feel nervous about all of that.
I think.
Yeah.
I can tell you about things that will make you feel more comfortable.
And you have a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
So no one as a parent, well, very few parents of 15-year-olds are thinking about wanting their child to move out.
Yeah, but
and
I know it's
exacerbated. Oh, I know what you mean. But what I mean is, of course, she's not ready and you're not ready.
No.
So you, but I know.
But I'm conscious that that's what
to make sure that, I guess you're a wonderful mum and you make sure she does things for herself.
Yes.
Yes.
And does a bit of cooking.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I do.
And all
of
that.
Of course.
Preparing them to be independent.
Yes.
Yes.
And she might make up her own mind.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
I think she will.
I think she will.
So how did you fund this organisation?
REAL?
Yeah.
It was volunteers.
Okay.
Volunteers.
Which is how the disability world gets on, doesn't it?
We did it.
Volunteers.
We just
volunteers.
Did it in those days, and we ran little workshops at the Bulleen Heights School and things like that, you know.
And this is way pre-internet, so be able to, it would have just been phone calls to people, letters, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
It would have been a lot of work.
A lot of work. But it's that passion, isn't it? Like, this has to happen and no one's doing it, so I'm just going to do it.
Yes.
I think that's...
The thing that's in front of you, that's what you work with.
Yes.
Mm.
That's right. Yeah. And so, during that time... How did you care for yourself?
Well, I did work. I did work. I did part-time work. I did paid work. I did volunteer work. As you know, I was involved in church. So I was in Queensland. I started doing some lessons in singing. I came back here and I did exams.
Oh, good.
I've conducted choirs and I've done quite a few musicals with kids.
Yeah.
And all of that. And Warren was involved in that. The young people, you know, with all the choreography, they'd have somebody that'd be on alongside him, making sure he'd got in the right
place.
And
he loves
music,
doesn't he? He loves music.
He loves music. Yes. He's, yeah. He
Awesome.
With the Salvation Army bands, you know, if they were playing a march, you know, there might have been a rhythm that went and that's what he'd do.
Yeah.
He'd actually sound out the rhythm.
Oh, so great. Yeah.
And I've, you know, now I've got more involved. I guess it's Warren's more independent now, so it's given me time now to give back in lots of ways through this Manningham Transition Home Share, the Manningham Inclusive Community Housing, things that I've been involved in there. And I just love working with parents and families.
Yeah. What about how when you had times where you're butting heads with bureaucrats, and how did you get through those times, or still are?
Determination, I suppose. Because sometimes we don't have the energy.
No, that's what I'm wondering.
And just a very quick thing about the NDIS is that we got a plan that wasn't working, and I put in for a review, but Warren was living in his own home and he needed those supports.
He did.
Yeah.
They hadn't assessed him properly.
Yeah, it was frightening, wasn't it?
The assessment was coming from Victoria, the Victorian funding body. But so I was up in Queensland. I got to the airport and they pulled me aside and said, your bag's too heavy. It was just a carry-on bag.
Yeah.
And so I sat down and I tried to sort of fiddle around and do some stuff, and I sat next to a lady who wouldn't have anything, and I thought, well, she might be able to help me carry something. Anyway, I got in the line and I was pulled up by a man who was most determined that I would sort this out. So I tipped up my bag on the floor. And I said, you didn't have to do that. I said, yes, I do, because I have to know what I threw out. I threw out a bag that I didn't really care about.
Yeah.
And I threw out one or two things. And he said, well, it's getting to the time you're going to have to, you know, get this. I said, no, I'll get it right. So I got it right and got on. So I was pretty stressed by the time I got onto the airplane.
Yes.
And I just before that, I found out that I'd run out of money. I tried to, you know, claim some money before I had this thing. I got back and I had a rehearsal with somebody to do with some singing engagement. I thought, I can't do NDIS as well. And then I thought, yes, I can. I'm really upset. I'm going in there.
Yes, do it now.
Do it now.
Yes. Now's the time.
So I went in there and I said, I've run out of money. Can I use my employment? You know how you can't go between things.
Yep.
Yes. Can I lose my employment budget? Oh, just a minute. I'll go out, come in. I'll go out, come in. It was all this business going on. They gave me an extra 3 months, which only lasted for 1 month, and I ran out again.
Yeah.
So it's all that, the advocacy.
Yeah.
And I think it's when, look, you do it. You do it for your child. But
I'm
also aware that there are parents who are just struggling day to day.
That's right.
To just cope.
Yes. It's not right.
It's not right.
It's not
and
right.
They shouldn't have to do that. But I just feel if I've got the energy to do it, then I do it because I know it'll make it better for others.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know that it has done better for others because Warren being in his own home and all the other parents that I know that have done the similar thing has been noticed by the NDIS and they've now brought independent living options.
Yes,
so it's
so
worth
I know
it.
That it's worked.
Yes, definitely.
So I've got off target a bit
here. No, that's exactly what this podcast does.
Yeah. We've actually stuck to it really well.
I think we have. I'm very proud.
But I don't want anybody to think that I've got it all together because I haven't. I had both after both my children, I had postnatal depression.
Yep.
It wasn't just being sad, it was on.
Yes.
I had postnatal and I've had other periods of depression, probably because I pushed myself too hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had other periods of depression. I've had to help Warren through that time. He had a very difficult time. And with all the dreaming and all the stuff that we've achieved, there were times when we had to just step back, take a step back, do one or two things that perhaps wasn't in the goals.
Yes.
But just to survive for that time
so
and then
true.
Move back again. So I just want people to know it's step by step. There will be challenges. There will be times you can't do it. Just can't do it.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, that's really important.
We want all those mums to hear that who are just starting on the journey because you can imagine now with the pressure of NDIS with a one-year-old and you're like, you need to do speech therapy and OT and physio
and
occupational
therapy. If you don't do it, you're not going to get it next year.
Yeah,
oh,
so we just
pressure.
Want, because, you know, I remember pre-NDIS and now I'm in it.
Mm.
You really remember it.
Mm.
There's people that I just want them to know that if they miss a day of therapy, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. It's a long-term thing. This is a marathon.
And there's a lot out there, planners, local area coordinators, and people who are even self-managing, who are on a Facebook page, who still are asking questions, and I think, why has somebody told them that?
Yeah.
So there's information that is wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we really have to just stick to our guns.
Yep.
And
yep.
when we can, just keep advocating, keep pushing the boundaries.
Mm. Yeah.
We think we'll get Anita back to talk about NDIS
yes.
for a separate episode.
Yes.
So,
and also we might get some of you to send some speak pipes in.
Yeah.
And we'll have an NDIS episode.
Yeah, all five.
Be a big one.
But I am conscious that Anita could have her own podcast times 1,000.
Yes, that's right.
So that's what we're trying to.
Don't really want to do that, I don't think.
Fun.
My husband already thinks I should have retired about 10 years ago.
Yeah, but there's no retiring from being a mum.
No, there's not.
No. Tell us about when you started in 2006, setting up your team.
Yeah, okay.
I remember you telling me about this because this was around the time when I had the diagnosis, yes. 2006.
Yeah. Well, 2006, and this is being inspired by other parents.
Yes.
So I was inspired by other parents from overseas.
Yep.
From Canada, Dio Harko was their name, and they just wanted an ordinary life for their kids.
Yep.
They got together, they did heaps of thinking, and that's another thing that I can't go into the whole thing about it, but I was inspired by these other parents, Belonging Matters, well, that's what it's called now, but Deb Rouget was the one that ran some workshops, and interestingly enough, a lady from the day centre was there, and I'm going sideways again.
That's okay.
But a lady from the day centre was there, and I had a break. I said to her, I'd really like Warren to do some work.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, she said, why do you want him to work?
Oh, my gosh. Because everybody
I
works.
Think so. You sort of pull back a little bit.
Yes.
And
you think,
well,
no,
you know,
you're not
I have
my
to
person.
Think through this a bit more. But I was determined.
Yep.
And I did lots of things with Belonging Matters, was called Personalised Lifestyle Assistance, went to other workshops, went up to Queensland and learnt all about not learnt so much, but been made aware
yes.
that our children have gifts.
Yes, yes, of course.
To give.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And it's not, you know, and we have to recognise that because the world doesn't always.
No, it doesn't. No.
Then I learned about valued roles.
Mm. Yes.
Our children having valued roles, roles that are valued in our community.
Yes. So that's what we want.
So anyway, I'll just go back to this.
Mm.
So getting back to the team, did you ever make a daisy chain as a child?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's if people don't know, it's like you split the stem and then you link that next daisy into that and it makes it into a circle.
Mm. Yes.
So this is what I think of, the daisy chain, okay?
Yep.
So nobody is a whole chain.
Yeah.
We need each other, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We live in the shelter of our friends and the people that we know, the people that struggle alongside with us.
Yep.
And it's also that concept, another one of the jigsaw puzzle. You've got a piece of my puzzle and you, Kate,
have
and
mine.
Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have got a piece of my puzzle as well.
Yes.
I'm listening to you as well.
Yeah, lovely.
That's true. So one of the things to get this going was for Warren to have a vision.
Yep.
You must have a vision.
Yep.
I don't know if you girls have, but you must have a vision for your children.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have it.
Well, I'm starting to think about it.
Yeah.
We have our children and we have this idea of, you know, them growing up and, you know, having a worthwhile career, having worthwhile relationships, you know, there's lots of things that we want them to have. When it comes to, you know, your child with a disability, you think, well, you know, and even as they're sort of growing and, well, what can they do?
Mm.
I know, Mandy, your twins, you know, have done some amazing things.
Mm. Yes.
But, you know, it's being able to open your mind to that and other people can help you do that.
Mm.
That's true.
Because if you look at your child and you go, well, who are they?
Mm.
Well, they're a son or daughter.
Yeah.
They might be an uncle. They might be an auntie.
Yes.
Yeah.
They might be a friend.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of different roles that they play.
Yes.
And then you look at their abilities and there's some of the abilities are those that the world don't often hold on to.
That's right.
That they have they have the gift of welcome, or they have the gift of caring. They have a beautiful smile. They may not be able to talk, but they have a beautiful smile.
Yes.
And they bring joy to the world, all of those kinds of things. And I'm not saying they don't have other abilities that they can be used in a workplace, but they might be some of the things. Mm. So that was more. That was the most important thing. So we set up a circle of support.
Yes.
Which is a group of people who agree to meet together on a regular basis to help a person with a disability accomplish and their personal vision or goals.
Mm.
So you may set up that vision with that circle of support.
Yeah.
So you've got to find your champions, the advocates, the people who love and care for your family member. They're not people who are paid.
Yes.
Although you may bring in one or two people who are paid
to
be in your children's life because of their values.
Yes.
Surrounding. Yes. Because sometimes when you bring people in that are just living in community, they love them and they care for them, but they don't have the same vision that you have for them to have an ordinary life.
Yes. Yep.
They think of group things.
Yes.
And programs.
Yes. Okay.
So that's so we set up that team
and
that has developed over time. In the end, it became the team that was supporting him with some informal supports in that team.
Yeah.
And that still exists.
Mm.
And now they're actually setting up another circle of support again with just people who are just informal volunteers.
Yes, oh, terrific.
You know, for the adult type of thing.
Yes.
Yes, so there's so much around circle of support that I could talk about, but, you know, it's brainstorming.
Mm.
Warren ended up having a job, and I guess this goes into his jobs because somebody from the circle of support knew about the volunteering at the St. Vincent's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Warren got we got an interview. Warren, I can remember Warren and I meeting with this lady who was in charge of the volunteers, and I must have said something about disability. He said, "I haven't got a disability."
Well, fair
Sorry,
enough.
Warren.
Gorgeous.
So we were there for a while, but we did get somebody who was she was on placement, and because we had some connections with the TAFE, the lady in a particular stream of disability there recommended somebody who was really she was recommended her because she had the right values.
Yes. Mm. Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she got that job with the as a volunteer at St. Vincent Hospital, and I can go to the rest of those supported works, but I'll just go back to something that I haven't touched on.
Yep.
And that is when I was with Deborah Jay and looking into those workshops, she recommended this group called Living Distinctive Lives, which was a group of parents who didn't want the home for their children, and so there's Warren's an adult by this stage, to be in disability settings, and they wanted their lives to be intrinsically entwined, if you like, in community.
Yes.
So I was with them for several years until NDIS came along and it was defunded. So we had a part-time.
Yep.
We applied for part-time through one of the funding streams, part-time support person.
Mm.
A facilitator, if you like, who helped us with a whole lot of stuff. So she worked with the various families, and it might have been around home, might have been around, you know, getting some work or paid work or volunteer work.
Mm.
So that was really important. And that's when I talk about getting people around, like-minded people around you.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did you relate? Because I'm thinking, oh, how would I release that as the mum? Like, to other people.
Exactly.
How did you do that?
There's a lot of releasing you have to do.
Yes.
Maybe, along this journey.
Hang on a minute. I don't agree with what you're saying.
Can I ask how old
you
are?
I'm 40, nearly 45.
And I'm 75.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm coming to you saying there is a lot of releasing.
Okay.
It's not easy.
We have to learn this.
It's not easy, but we think we're responsible.
I do.
Yeah.
We think we're responsible. Why should I put that on my friends?
Yeah.
But there are people out there who know you.
Yes.
And also people in the community just want to help.
Yeah. Oh, they. I know. I have them.
I know somebody who's setting up a circle of support and she went in to get fish and chips for everybody for the evening or whatever. And he said, oh, you know, what are you doing? He said, this is what we're doing. So I'd love to be involved in
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
You've got to be open. Yeah. You've got to start opening up your life to people and allowing them to come in.
Mm.
You know, you do still have the authority as a mum, but there is so much wealth.
I don't mean that in that I want to be in control of it. I just mean I'm nervous. Yes. Because ultimately I think the only people that really worry about it the most are Darren and I. So, yeah.
Do you know what? When you build up the relationships for your son or daughter, if I build up relationships with Warren, Warren's had, we haven't got to home, but Warren's had a whole lot of different housemates without a disability to support him.
Yes.
And he's got a team that I've set up.
Mm.
I mean, I'm at the stage now where I'm sure you'd like to be. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Mm.
But I'm at the stage now where I'm not even doing, apart from being Warren's nominee and the NDIS.
Yes.
And being the mentor and perhaps manager, if you in name. I've got a lady who runs his life.
Yeah, awesome.
Runs his house.
Yep.
Runs his life. Although Warren says she's going on holidays, I can take over, I can do this.
But that's great.
Yeah, that is.
That's what he thinks. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, he said, I can do it. No, I'll run the meetings. So she gets him to run his team meetings and everything.
That's the greatest.
So he's had a couple of those. This is his second main one. And she manages his team, the roster, everything. So all of that is covered under NDIS.
Yeah, brilliant.
But I used to do all that. I'm self-managing.
Yes.
But basically I'm self-managing from a distance.
Yeah, brilliant.
Mm.
I've got a support coordinator who's amazing. She works with his personal assistant.
Yeah, great.
So I've gone all over the place.
Yeah, but
now.
Yes, but that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
When I talk about getting people around you, that's important.
Yes,
Mandy. And Kate, you're going to be my age in 30 years.
That's right.
Which now is exactly very fast.
Yeah,
I think. In their 20s, well, this started, Warren was 29, but you need to start in their early 20s.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting them ready.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that she's saying this. When am I going to move out? When am I going to get a job?
Yes.
When am I going to have my own podcast? That's what she tells me. I said, well, when you're 18.
Yes.
So, you know, she does have that voice now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's really important to have the right people around you.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Where are we up to now, ladies?
Okay. Oh, yeah, the jobs. Team. Yeah,
yeah, so we want to hear about jobs.
So he had, oh, look, when he first came back, sorry, we haven't done home, but his home a little bit, but he did actually go into a 20-week program to get, it was called Genesis. It was run by Harrison Community Services.
Yep.
To get used to living at home and building up his skills and hopefully go somewhere when he came out,
right,
which was what they wanted. But, of course, it didn't happen. He ended up coming home. He was anxious and I think he missed the company.
Yes.
So then somebody came along. There were parents who'd set something up in Watsonia, Greensboro area, and he went there, but it was a group home run by parents.
Right.
Yep. No DHS money in it or anything. People put money into it.
Right.
And look, he made the most of it, and he's got an amazing sense of humour.
Yes.
Yeah,
which I think got him through a lot. But he got very anxious, and in the end of 3 years, he was not wanting to get out of the car. And he, yeah. he threw up when I took him out for lunch.
Yeah, it wasn't the right place.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we brought him back home.
Yep.
But we did have a talk to him before we did that. And we said, you know, we'd just like you to know whether you'd really like to stay where you are.
Yeah.
Whether you'd like to come home to the flat on the lower part yep. of our house,
yep.
which we had. Or whether you'd like to, you know, go into a unit of your own. And he said he wanted to come home, back to the community that he knew.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because he'd grown up there, well, a lot of years. We did shift a bit, but in a lot of years. So we said to him, well, why do you want to do that?
Mm.
Because it's better.
Yeah.
Thus the book I've written.
Yes, that's right.
Because it's better to live my life within community.
Mm. Yes.
So when he came back home, we had to sort of start up. He had been he'd been to Arts Project, which exists now, where he does his art. But the silly things you say to your kids when they can't even imagine what you're asking them.
Yeah.
We were going past the Rotary Op Shop and I said, would you like to work there? Stupid question. Because, you know, people assume that they can imagine what it's like.
Yes.
He just said, I want to do art.
Nah.
So he started doing art.
And had he done art before that?
He had some years earlier.
Right.
It's all coming from the Artwork Award.
Yes.
The Tuck Shop Artwork Award. Oh,
no, that was a drawing. This is real art.
I know, it's amazing.
So he increased his ability over the couple of years, and then they got him some employment funding, come from federal government before NDIS. So they started promoting his art.
Brilliant.
And then he had his solo exhibition 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was in the Arts Guide Australia.
Yeah.
With
and what sort of art? He had
arts. Well, he calls it windows.
Right, okay.
He doesn't name his art.
Right.
He does arches.
Mm. Ah.
And I think the inspiration came from buildings. He used to love the city.
Mm. Yeah.
And the windows.
Yep.
But it's multi-layered in colours.
Right.
Mandy and Kate can see what I'm holding up.
We'll be get promoting some photos everything. Of it colours, and put it on the internet.
Yeah, but anyway,
So
then eventually he had his solo exhibition a couple of years ago in the Arts Guide Australia, as I said. He had about three or four pages and about three or four paintings, pictures of him. I was interesting because I turned over to one of the pages, quite a thick little book. I turned over to one of the pages. There's a little picture of Ken Doan's painting.
Then a massive one of Warren's. Three pages on it.
I mean, really.
Ken who?
Sorry, Ken. the other thing that he was passionate about was the police.
Yes, I remember him being at the police.
So when he came home, the facilitator of our Living Distinctive Lives, she made an approach. We talked about it and she made an approach to Doncaster Police, went in there, and I think the girl there at the time or the policewoman at the time said, well, no, we can't have anybody just coming in. We have to do training. He can't just come here and, and volunteer.
Right.
So she knew somebody who knew somebody, you know. Yeah, like
great.
I'd had an uncle who was up here somewhere in the police force who wrote a letter to the police and a guy there called Steve was in charge there, senior, what do you call him? Sergeant.
Sergeant, yeah.
He said, yes, he can come and volunteer. And he lasted there for a little while.
Yeah.
But then there was a change. Steve left and all that sort of thing. And there were some things that happened that they weren't able to cope with it.
Yeah.
So, but he's been in there a couple of times and says hello to them. So that's okay.
Awesome.
But he had his visions higher. His vision was higher. He wanted to go and work in the World Trade Center.
In New York.
Where the Victoria Police are.
Yeah,
that's headquarters of Victoria Police.
Yes.
So what do we do? Well, this was mum doing this now. So I I wrote to Christine Nixon at time was when she was there.
The police minister.
They were great with that letter. You know, I rang up, I don't know, when I thought they had plenty of time to think about it. And so I wrote to her and just said, look, you've got volunteering in police in a couple of other states, you know, and I told her about one. I made sure it was only a one-page letter.
Yes. Yep. Not too overwhelming.
And then I rang up to see where it was. It's, oh, yes, you know, we know where it's gone from here to there. And I got a call from, I think she wrote to the convener of, or whatever they call them, at the police museum and said Warren could have an interview for there. So we went and had an interview there and he started working for the police museum. That was about 2006-07 because they were actually building a new police museum. So he got to go to the opening and have his picture taken with Christine Nixon.
Brilliant.
And he got to wear the uniform and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He's not working there at the moment because they're doing more shifting.
Okay.
Yes. But that led to him volunteering at the show, the Melbourne show, giving out pamphlets for the police and all of that sort of thing. And also to the police academy, because they run a detective program so that they can get used to people with a cognitive impairment and learn how to interview them if they've been involved in something.
Right.
Some crime or whatever.
Yes.
So he's been out there a few times. In fact, he's going out again very soon. Oh. So they go out. They can't do direct interviews at the moment with COVID.
Yes, of course.
But in the past, he's, you know, they video him and they come in and, I remember one young policewoman coming in and she said, hello, I'm Janet. Mm. I'm a police officer. She said, I'm Warren and I'm an artist.
Oh,
Nisa.
So when he's claiming his role.
Yes.
That, I'm not just a person with a disability.
No, I'm an artist.
I'm an artist.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
So there's, so all of those things, he's going to Men's Shed now. He loves Men's Shed.
Yep, yeah. Okay.
Being with the blokes.
Yeah, you know, gorgeous.
Loves that. Yeah. Yep. But he does 2 days with Arts Project and he does his learning on a Tuesday. You know, he does all that and does his shopping and does all that sort of stuff. And he also, the other one was working, I got a job for him, talked to them at our local church.
Yeah. Yep.
They had a Salvo's coffee shop.
Right.
And he was volunteering there for a lot of years. And then now we've just shifted. The Salvation Army have Box Hill, have a new building in Whitehorse Road just next to the Box Hill Town Hall.
Yeah,
I know.
And Cafe Salvo's there and he'll probably go back there and do a little bit there. So, yes.
Wow. He's had a really interesting working life.
He has.
Really interesting.
How do you feel about that when you think about looking back on setting all that up? And do you feel proud? Because I'm proud of you.
Mm.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably always, maybe I've even, I would say pushed him too hard, but, you know, I've always tried for him to have things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's, I'm thinking of a young lady now who, through circumstances, doesn't have anything to do and just home and she sleeps until 12 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, like it's just.
No.
They just need that, just like us all.
That's right.
We all need to have a meaningful life. Yes.
That's right.
And that means having varying relationships and friendships.
Yes.
You know, you might keep your friends from school and you might keep other friends in other little activities that you do, but if you've got work, you've got work colleagues, you go to Christmas parties.
That's right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
100%.
You know, and I just think that's, and so I don't think of, I think I did what I needed to do as a mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just grateful for so many people that have come across my path that have said, I know you've been struggling against the system, but there's a different way and we're going to get together and we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what you need to do. You need to do it with people. Don't try and do it by yourself.
No.
Because come the day that you won't be able to.
That's
That's so
that's
true.
That's exactly right.
That's what I'm trying. That's why I've done what I've done because I won't always be here.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's our eternal worry.
Yes.
Every
Yeah.
And just I'm going to give you a couple of quick little quotes.
Yes, please.
Tell us.
The Dio Harko people said that together they were and are better, stronger and more creative.
Yeah, definitely more creative.
So if you've got people around, you think, you know, you can do it all, but you can't.
No.
And the people with a disability are better off and safer in community than separated by community.
Yes.
Warren's been down to his local, I know, ages ago. Because you have to allow them to take risks. There's a dignity of risk which you have to let them take.
Yes.
Mm. I used to let Warren go out on a Sunday and have his own walk.
Yep.
And he sometimes was late getting back and I'd have to go looking for him.
Mm.
And I actually went down and I was on the opposite side of Blackburn Road and he was on the opposite side to him. And he was trying to cross where you couldn't cross.
Mm.
And I'm yelling out the door. I'm yelling out the window. Warren, don't. And I've got to cross. And I was very stressed. But you have to give them the dignity of risk.
Yes.
And hope that other people will.
Mm.
Yes.
You know, because there are people in community that will keep them safe.
Yes.
Yes, there are.
Because they become known. If they're in their own little
community. Yes, and that's why it's so important to live in your community.
That's right. I know even when my daughter would go down to wait for the bus, the lady who lives across the road said she'd just check on her, like out her window every morning. Because I said, I'm letting her walk down to the bus by herself, but I'm nervous.
Yes.
She said, oh, I'll just watch out my window. And I was like, oh.
And you know, so thank important. You. Yeah. Even when he had a dog that used to get out, he was a Jack Russell and didn't behave a lot. But he'd go out and. Or was it Bono, the little...
Yeah, Bono. I remember Bono.
Little Bono, I think. Anyway, he'd follow him up to McDonald's. So he'd go out and so I wasn't around. He'd follow him up to McDonald's and then I know the McDonald's people actually tied him up a couple of times. So he stopped doing
the dog, not Warren.
But then at one stage he was coming back and he must have crossed across Blackburn Road where Doncaster Road
yes.
is.
Yes.
Oh, it's a busy
and
intersection.
And a man saw him struggling with this dog.
Mm.
And I didn't know where he was and I was wondering where he was and this BMW arrived in our course and the dog got out and the man, you know, and Warren got out and I went over to speak to him. He said, oh, look, I saw him struggling up there and I went past him and thought, I've got to come back and help him.
Oh.
People will
people
keep
are
him
good.
Safe.
It just makes me want to cry.
And I know, people are you know, good. It doesn't matter whether our kids have got a disability or not.
Yes.
We have to release them.
Yeah. No, I know, and it's scary.
It's scary.
And it's scary.
Yep, it is scary.
And maybe I'll let him do more than
no,
he.
I don't think so. That's right.
Yep. But I believe he's got a guardian angel, so there you go.
Well,
I'm
that's
relying
good too.
On it. I'm relying on you. I am relying on you.
Yes. Well, so far, so good.
True.
And it's never too late to be who you might have been. That doesn't mean I can go and be a doctor because I'd like to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, Warren was 30 and I was 59 when I moved out of my comfort zone.
Yes, that's true.
You know.
That is true.
What else do I just wanted to pass on? Just that, you know, there might come a time when you feel you've got to rethink everything, which is what I had to do. I don't think you'll get to that point because you move with it.
And
you started off with better insight than I had when I was controlled by systems, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think times are different with the internet and Facebook groups and all that sort of. You didn't have that.
No.
No.
But the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Just aim high.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
And don't think, look, there's some things will work and some things won't. Mm. You'll fail. We all fail.
Yes, that's true.
And as I said before, there's times when you'll have to put a hold on your life or on your son's life or your daughter's life because they're not well.
Yes, that's right.
You know, because life's going to happen.
Yes. Or we've had surgeries. Yes. That puts a big halt in.
Or
I
think, you know, I know for my boys, lots of transitions really quickly aren't great.
Yes.
And so then I have to go, well, we're not going to do that actually. We're just going to stay home and recover.
Yeah,
from
recover.
That.
Yeah.
And then we're stronger when we come out.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I got this from another book from the Dio Harko people, so I won't say it's mine. But we don't refrain from planting a garden just because we know in the end winter comes anyway, do we?
No.
We plant, we cultivate, we weed, and enjoy the garden in all its stages.
Oh, oh so God.
Perfect. So don't.
That is the truth.
Refrain from planting.
Yes.
Don't, you know, and aim high. Look at what the dreams are.
Yeah. Mm.
And set yourself a 1 month goal and a 3 month goal.
Yeah.
And a
yeah.
1 year
beautiful
goal.
Beautiful, Anita.
Whatever. But yes. You'll find that as I sort of, if you've been thinking about Warren's story, it's, you know, his police jobs has just evolved.
Yes, that's right.
You start somewhere.
Yeah, and it's just, not. It just evolves. It's not greatness straight away.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got it. Got it.
But a friend said to me a little while ago, a few years ago, well, he asked me what Warren was doing and I was telling him he was doing this, he's doing his art, you know, it was good, everything was fine. And he said, oh, that's good. It keeps him occupied.
Oh, would you say that to anybody else?
It's good to keep him occupied.
Mm. No, it's good for him to have a fulfilling life.
Who wants to be just occupied?
No one.
No, occupied's the laundry.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's true.
Housework.
Yeah,
housework,
we can do that.
Generally.
Yeah. Do that forever.
So I've got to quote this Hans Christian Andersen quote.
Yes.
Just living is not enough, said the butterfly. One must have sunshine, freedom, and a little flower.
Oh, yes.
That is so true. Yeah, just living is not enough.
It's not enough, and we've experienced that last year.
We really did during lockdown.
Lockdown and just living.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was soul-destroying.
It was, yeah.
How did he cope during that time?
It wasn't easy, but we were very fortunate, and I thank God for this, because he had a housemate at the time who we got on really well with.
Mm.
And he happened to be, his work was actually support work for people with disability.
Yes.
Yep. So he was able to go on voluntary leave without pay.
Right.
And we were able to pay him through the NDIS.
Yes, great, great.
To stay at home with Warren.
Great.
So, you know, they go for walks, they go play basketball.
Great.
They get in the car and go down to St Kilda.
We
had the little thing that says, you know, he's allowed to do this.
Yes, good.
And so they did all that, and Jackie, who's is his PA, she would make sure they got the food into the house.
Great.
Yes.
All of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was difficult, though. Like, he'd ask me every time I saw him, you know, when's church going back? When can we go back to church? Because he loves his church.
Yes.
And, you know, the people there. And when can we do this? Oh, do I have to wait for ScoMo to give the nod?
Yes.
But it went on and on and on.
It did go on in Melbourne.
And then you get a hint that it's coming back, and then it didn't go back.
Yeah, that's really what I mean. Must have been confusing.
I say it's hard for his housemate too, but, you know, it's that we only had that, what was it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we were clocked
in
again.
Yes, that's right, July.
Yep. So, you know, you thought, so.
Did church go back in that time or not?
No, it was online.
It was all online.
Yes.
But Warren, you know, we got in touch with our, we call him our officer or our pastor or whatever.
Yeah.
He just come from America, and he had 3 Sundays, and we were all locked down.
Oh, poor guy. He didn't get to know any of you.
So he's just getting to know us all now.
Wow.
He was doing Zoom
But we
church.
Had all this online stuff. We had online sort of studies and things. But for Warren, you know, he made an appointment and went down and saw him a couple of times.
Yeah, great.
And then there was someone else that would ring him up and have not so good with online stuff, but he's okay. He's got a video.
Yep.
A video screen, like a little TV
that
people can call in on Skype.
Yeah, great.
But none of us liked it, really,
no.
If we're honest.
No.
I mean,
no.
Church on Zoom or friend Scrabble on Zoom, not fun.
I still hate the masks.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we hate them.
And you try singing.
Yeah, no, impossible.
I hold it out.
Yeah.
Like, hold out Woody like Woodpecker.
Because otherwise it goes in and out.
Yeah. I know. It really does. In and out.
Tell us about your book that you wrote.
Yeah,
the name of it. Tell us. We'll.
Okay, it's called Because It's Better to Live My Life Within Community.
Yeah.
And basically, it's because it's better to have faith, to believe in possibilities, to have the dignity of choice, to have friends, to belong, to be genuinely included.
Yes.
And we know that's different to just being included.
Yes,
we do.
Yes.
To contribute, and that helps you to belong.
Yep.
To help someone else. To advocate for others, to have a home of my own,
yes.
To have work, and to have the support I need.
Mm.
Wow. And how long did it take you to write it?
I went up to Queensland and broke the back of it. I think it was a year.
Yeah, it would.
It was a year to when I actually published it.
And you self-published it?
I did, because I was going to go through my church, but
yes.
They wanted me to take down the first part's a bit is more personal, and
yes.
it brings in my family life. It brings in yeah. my own vulnerabilities.
Yes,
if you like,
yes.
Which is what I wanted.
Yes, definitely.
What was the question again?
No,
did you self-publish?
Yeah, did you self-publish
it? Yes, I did. So what I was going to have it, but then I discovered if I went through the self-host publishing, I was going to have to do it in black and white.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it in black and white.
No.
And I didn't want all the black and white. You know how people put the little black and white pictures in the middle of a book?
Oh, yeah, it's so hard to see.
Yeah,
so
no.
now, you know, I wanted all these pictures to be relevant to what
beautiful.
I was talking about.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
what I did. And there was somebody in our church who was a printer. So I did it through him, and we, you know,
brilliant.
Got the people that we need to actually do that and make sure. And I've tried throughout to identify, I suppose, because I've been quoting these little things to identify really key things
yes.
that people need to think about.
Yes.
And I did put in a poem that I wrote.
Oh, read it.
At the back. Yeah. Should I?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
You know about it, Mandy?
Yes.
Well, I don't, so.
Yep, read it.
Read it to me.
Well, it lets it all hang out.
Good.
Yep, go for it.
Okay. And I wrote that in 2001, so that was before I started the journey, okay?
Yes.
If I had not walked this way, I faced a mystery not understood when in circumstance I could not bear. I pleaded with the Lord. I might cry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we will too.
Yeah, we will.
I pleaded with the Lord I loved in deeply anguished prayer.
Yes.
I searched when rising for the strength to live. I found my God when walking there. What if I had not walked this way? Would I have missed his loving care? Would I have felt at heart another's pain or reached to find their numbing fear? Now touching, rending mine, I knew that God was drawing near. To ease the burden that I understood would be my sacred call to dare. The light of God shone on my path, then dimmed. It faded with my tear. Dense forests of deep sadness came. Why? Was God now not really there? Do others perceive the griefs of those with whom the load I share? And does God really lead me through each valley, comforting and ever near? Is God still on the rocky road I tread? Oh, yes, he walks with me right here. Involving all of life and those I love, the great challenges will still appear, each touching, maiming, paralysing. Mountains rise on cliffs most sheer. The deep crevasse, grim gorges lost. Oh, will my Lord still meet me here? If I had not walked this sacred path with God beside me and so dear, I would have found a deeper pain, no peace of soul, and faith not clear. Yet challenges will still remain until I see God face to face and there. Soul, trust, hope, love, and rest. The Lord indeed walks with me here.
Oh, thank you. That's a beautiful way to end.
Yes.
It really is. Thank you for being here with us.
Yes, thank you.
We've really, really been looking forward to talking to you.
Yes.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And we will get you back.
We will.
And to hear all about NDIS and everything. But thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for being a person in my life that I can look towards.
And thank you for being honest.
Yeah. The peas are going to love you.
They are going to love you.
You need to order some more books.
You might
because
need to order some more books.
They will want to buy them, and we'll get the links to Warren's
sort of
artwork.
It's a bit outdated now. I need to sort of do a bit more.
Well, there you
well,
go. Back
get
to
the
Queensland
links to the
when
artwork.
You can.
Yeah, you get a year in Queensland.
Yeah. And we'll get the link to Warren's artwork.
Yes.
And any photos you want us to put up on Facebook or Instagram or something like that.
Yes, send us some photos.
Yeah. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We loved having you.
Bless you both.
Wasn't Anita? Oh, isn't she beautiful?
She's so beautiful.
I've been wanting to get her on for a long time.
Oh, Peas, so, you must love her. Oh. And just, I love people who are so passionate. Like, she's passionate about her church. She's passionate about her life with her son.
Yep.
And they actually do it.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Not lip service.
No.
Actually do it. Yeah. What a woman.
Yeah, what a woman.
Beautiful woman dressed in a little white skirt with a red cardi.
She
looks
very
so
stylish.
Lovely. Very stylish.
Very
we felt daggy.
Yeah. Well, I love her whole family. And, yep, that day she came to see me when I was very low.
Yes.
I'll never forget it.
No.
Yeah.
No. And she's, wow, she's a powerhouse.
She is a powerhouse.
Yep. You know, you don't, yeah, women.
Yeah. And she's had to battle way before NDIS battles.
She has. Really, really, really. She's gone well before us. You know, done things that none of us ever have to do.
No, that's right. We won't. So I'm
grateful
thankful
for those
that.
Women.
That's
they trailblazed.
Right. Definitely. Oh, so, and, you know, we know we want to get more of women on that are living that part of their life.
Or, amazing.
Yeah, because we need to hear from it.
Yeah,
you know,
we do.
Like she spoke
and
to our hearts, Kate.
She really
she just
did.
Looked at us in the eye and said, you are going to have to release.
Yes, she was
and
incredible.
I was like, okay, well, we need to know. okay, Anita.
All right.
But it's true.
It is true. And we got through the whole episode without swearing.
I know.
So there you go.
Amazing.
Maybe Marg can listen.
Yeah, I was just thinking Mum will love this episode.
Yes, she will.
Yeah, she will.
This is what they're all like. They're all like this, Margaret, but just don't listen to it anymore.
Ticks all her boxes.
It does.
Okay, tell me what made you cry this week.
All right. So I've had a, life's just stressful again and we've got things. We're going away for weddings and I don't know. Life's just got really frantic.
Yeah.
Works. I'm stressed because work's not busy enough.
Yes.
And I can't do anything about it. It's just COVID.
Yes.
And just lots of things changing. And then the day that we're recording is St. Patrick's Day. It always gets me in the feels because Dad would always come over.
Yes.
He'd bring little plastic Irish flags and he'd sing silly Irish songs. And so I had a massive cry this morning, but I actually feel better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good cry.
You just gave yourself the space.
Like, I love you. You're not here, but I love you. So,
yeah.
That was my cry. What about you?
No crying. Just I'm frustrated at myself in being overwhelmed by life coming back to normal with a vengeance.
Yes.
And I've got three schools emailing, ping, 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 pizza day, wear green today.
Mm. I know.
I can't. I'm not match fit.
No, we are not match fit.
I have lost all my ability
to
cope
pre-season.
With all this. No.
We just went straight into football.
Really? No pre-season. So I just feel anxious about ticking every box for every child and missing
stuff. But I think we forgot because our anxiety of general life was replaced with unbelievable COVID anxiety, and I know that lots of you are still living it in Europe and America, but we sort of forgot about our other anxiety and then we're like,
it's come back.
I saw a great TikTok of this woman and she was like, you know, February 2020, someone asked her, could she come out for drinks? And she's like, right, I can come at 8 because I got to pick up my son. I'm going to leave work early, pick up my son.
Yes.
Then I've got to do dinner and then I have to quickly type up this report for work and then I'll meet you at 8. And she's like, you know, March 2021, would you be able to come out for drinks? No. And even though everything's open, she's like, I just can't manage anymore.
I
was like,
know.
True. She's like, true. I can't. And maybe we've learnt some things as well.
Well, I think we have, but then everything that's out of your control.
I know.
Feels like it's steamrolling again.
It really, really does.
Yeah. So.
But also I can see the school holidays on the horizon.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, we've just got to limp there.
Yeah.
But I know, and God bless the schools, they're trying to fit things in.
They are.
And so you've got the meetings about camp and you've got the school reports and then you've got Harmony Day
I've
and then you've
forgotten
got,
about
I can't
all
do
that.
It.
We're green. Our uniform's green. We need a different green T-shirt.
Oh.
Where do I find a green T-shirt that doesn't have a dinosaur on it? It's too long. It's too short. I need green zinc cream. Do we have green zinc to paint my face? No, I had that in 2014. It's run out. It's hard. I need to buy more green zinc.
And then you walk up to school and God bless you women, whoever you are, your kids have the green pom-poms. They've got the green scrunchies. They've got the green hairspray. How do you do this? Tell us.
I used to be her when the big girls, when they were all in the one place.
Yes.
But these three different places.
No.
I've just remembered this is hard.
And you know what? It doesn't matter.
No, well, it doesn't matter. I know. No.
She has a hard life.
Yeah, she does have a hard life. That's right. Anyway, okay, what about what made a difference?
Two things made a difference in my life. The first thing is that we have to go to a wedding. We don't have to go. We're joyfully going to a wedding.
Yes.
But not joyfully wearing clothes that aren't tracksuit pants. So not me, the boys.
Yes.
I just put off buying clothes for them because I can never find clothes that fit. But H&M have skinny leg jeans. People run to them. And they fit them, and they had some skinny leg tracksuit pants that fit them, and it was just joy. They don't like them, but they fit.
Oh,
so that's, you know, I know, half it makes the battle. A big they actually difference. Stay up. So
yes.
You, and we found some cool t-shirts, and I found a really cool jacket. I spent like $300. Yes. I was like that. I did
well,
it
you
in
do when
7 minutes.
Oh.
Number one daughter was like, I need cotton on undies or Bonds undies. We were like.
Okay,
at Eastland,
you
like
go.
At 5:20 and it shut at 5:30.
Yes.
Bam. Did our thing. Got out. Oh, so proud.
Closed for the next 2 years.
The woman was like looking at me and I came over to the cash register and she goes, all of it? I'm like, all of it. And I can see her thinking, damn.
Damn, I'm not on commission.
I know.
You're like, this is my one shop for the year.
And I just saw her looking at me because she'd be like two white shirts because they had, like I got the same shirts
yes.
because they were the only color they had that,
yes.
in their size. Got different colored jeans, but I just think they never ask, but you're like thinking, why is this woman buying so many of the same
yes,
thing?
Yes, yeah, I used to
like,
feel like that.
I can't be bothered telling you.
Nah. So,
and the other thing that made a difference, which I've been mocked mercilessly about by my children and the boys at work, and I bought one for you, Mandy, you may not like it, is the mum bangle, and it's a key ring. So you can choose your color.
You know I'm choosing aqua.
I know you are.
What the hell?
So you put your keys on there and then you can carry them on your wrist. And everyone's mocking me, but I've used it. I pop it on my wrist. So it's a big chunky bangle sort of made out of silicone. And then you hang your keys off it. And when you go into the car and you can't carry keys.
You don't have to find them.
Right. And one of Milk, Dingo Dave said to me, that is mum level 100.
Thank you.
Well, good. Because
I am going to try this out.
Yeah. I don't know if I've been using it for 2 days.
Have you?
Loving myself sick. But everyone else thinks it's terrible.
Isn't that what the 40s is meant to be?
I think it is, yeah.
You just go, okay.
I don't care.
Sorry.
Look at this.
Take that one out for Anita's episode. Okay, we've got to have photos of these.
Yeah, we've got photos. I'll put some photos up of them. Well, they're not called the mum bangle, but that's
sorry,
just what
sorry, but
I'm
did
calling.
You want the aqua though? Like,
no, I've got
okay,
one.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah, I got a pink one.
Oh, what? So you bought two for me to choose?
Yeah, I didn't know which colour you
want. I like the other one too. House keys and car keys.
You know those ridiculous things that come up on Facebook?
I know, and you think,
I got sucked in, bought them.
Oh, yeah. Many, many, many.
Anyway.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Sorry,
thank you. That's going to make a difference. For me, walking netball is back.
Oh, yeah.
It's back, baby. Every Monday.
Yep.
I'm there at 10 o'clock. And the gorgeous Kate, who is a P listener, she
she's
came.
She's a Chatterpie from the
yeah,
OG
she's a Chatterpie.
Days.
She
yep.
is.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, Kate! Waving to her. We were throwing the ball together. She was an awesome player. And just sweating, having a laugh, playing netball.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, I'm so glad it's back. Stay away, COVID.
And Molly came home 2 days ago and came running out of the bedroom because I must have got home late and she'd got home already. I've got homework.
Oh,
because she doesn't really normally get it.
Yes.
And she just was so proud of herself.
Oh.
And she was too tired to do it after school, but got up in the morning and did it by herself. I know.
Oh.
And it was just a moment and I thought that is a milestone.
Yes,
right?
That is a milestone.
Yes. Because what other child is like? Because she wants to do the same as her twin. Her twin is doing a year 11 subject. It's really up the ante. She's doing a lot of homework.
Yes.
And Molly's thinking, why don't I have any?
Homework.
Yeah. So she did. And it was just a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you would understand.
Yes.
Please.
So my laugh this week, I think it probably only made me laugh. I don't know if it'll make other people laugh. But last night I was editing the podcast. I was sitting in my room and Woody came up. He was like leaning on the end of my bed playing with the puppy. And we're just talking and I hadn't paused the podcast yet. And then he goes, oh, this is actually your podcast? I was like, this epiphany. And I said, yeah. He goes, wow, it's actually interesting. He's like, wow, Mum, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, 2 years.
2 years.
Anyway.
That is funny and gorgeous.
And it was interesting. It was last week's episode about the lady who, Megan, who had the prenatal diagnosis.
Yes,
and so, he was quite, wow.
Yeah, anyway, mine makes me play it in the car whenever we go places.
We didn't.
She really loves it.
You didn't hear it for long.
And she also watched our International Women's Day breakfast.
Did she?
Yeah, she watched it on YouTube.
Oh,
and
Molly.
She came out and said, thank you. She was really overwhelmed. And I said, do you like it when I do this? And she said, yes. And I said, great. And then she went and watched the Listen Able one with Dylan. And she was thrilled watching us.
Well, so, that's my make a difference.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Thank you, Molly.
That is amazing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, laugh.
Yep.
Oh, no, me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to see our local school production, which was just a thrill to even go.
I know.
And I was going with a friend and a couple of her kids. And I said, I'll bring some lolly bags. I'll make the lolly bags up. So then I just found myself. I bought a massive bag of Alan's lollies.
Yes.
And then Molly helped me make them. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to weigh them so that no one complains. About
yes, I've got more.
You got more. I got less. So I weighed them on top of the Thermomix. Everyone had 110 grams. Anyway, I thought I was really clever. It wasn't until the next day that I told a friend about it, and she's like, "Okay, what did you do?
Who was going to complain?
Who was going to complain?" She said, "This is like some crazy Weight Watchers thing." I was like, I just said, I've just been a mum for too long with people complaining. She got the red snake and I got a yellow one. And I just thought, damn
you. You're
all getting
the same.
I'm making eight bags and those eight bags are all going to be the same. But it wasn't until I explained it to someone that I thought, that sounds quite crazy.
Actually crazy,
But fun.
Yep.
So we had a good laugh about that.
Is Thermomix your only scale?
Yeah, I just use it. I just take the thing off. And
really?
I don't know. Maybe I don't have a scale.
What do you mean you take the lid off? You put them in the Thermomix?
No, so I just take the cap in the middle off.
Yes.
I put like a plate on top.
Set it to zero.
Set it to zero and then weigh shit.
Okay. Never thought of doing that.
MandyHoseHoseKnows.com.
Life hacks with Mandy Hose.
Yeah, life hacks, right? Anyway. That's it.
I wanted to say thank you to the new people that have come on for the supporter.
Yes.
We got a really, really funny one from Carolyn.
Yes.
Who said, thanks for your podcast. It's good, but it's not as good as late shift ballet on the chairs. So,
which is, Carolyn, we'll remember this when she's listening. When we used to work at QEC together, we would do a late shift. So that would be till 10:30. We'd get slightly hysterical by 9-ish and we would just put music on and dance on the chairs in the nurse's station. 20 years ago with our friend Dana.
Yeah.
So lovely. Thank you, Carolyn.
Well, I didn't even know what it was and it made me laugh.
Yeah, thank
also,
you.
Also, if you live in Melbourne, please buy tickets to our
live
show.
Yes, our live show.
I'm so scared that no one's going to buy tickets.
Scared
We're
too.
All scared of COVID, everything, but it's really going to be
fun. So we've got two shows. We've got one in Yarraville on the 8th.
Which you can buy dinner with.
You can buy dinner. And that one's at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And then the next Saturday at Karolika in Ringwood.
On the 15th.
And that will be on the 15th and that will be at 8 o'clock as well. I don't think you can buy dinner there.
No, you can't.
No.
And we will hopefully next week this time have our final images of our International Pea Week merch.
Yes,
so you
that's
can
right.
bring it. You can wear your international pea shirts
if
you want.
Yes, so just wear whatever you want.
Yeah, we don't care.
No, we're
you don't
just
have to
happy
wear a green shirt or a blue shirt. You can wear your pajamas.
Yeah,
we
I'm not going to make you
care.
Go and buy a t-shirt.
No, hell no. But if you want one,
look, if you want green zinc,
yes, that's fine.
Do it.
If you want to wear green pea balloons in your hair, do it.
We'll just be happy you're there.
You don't have to dress up.
So
you just have to come. So
yes.
Buy tickets, rate and review.
Yes,
please.
Thank you, Peas. And we really want to hear your feedback from today's episode.
Yes.
So give Anita and Warren all your love.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
See
bye.
You. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.